Taking Stock with Carol Masser and Michael McKee, on demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app, free for iPhone and Android devices.
All right, you are listening to Taking Stock on this Monday. My co-host is Jim O'Shaughnessy, head of O'Shaughnessy Asset Management. And you talked about your strategy.
Yeah.
So where does that lead? First of all, that strategy that you laid out, Jim, because there's a bunch of different factors that you're looking at, and you're looking for very high shareholder yield.
Yes.
Which you said is dividend yield plus buybacks.
Correct.
Is there a bigger universe than there's been over the last few months? I'm just curious how much that changes in terms of what's going on in the overall market.
Yeah, obviously more companies have been embracing buybacks, so we definitely are getting a bigger group to select from.
Yeah.
But there's almost always an adequate number of buybacks going on among large stocks in particular applying the formula, looking for cheap, looking for financially strong, and looking for high earnings quality, it always lets us get the number of names that we're looking for.
There's enough stuff out there.
Yeah.
We talked energy earlier, and I know that was something you were interested in last year. You said you sold a little bit, but you still have a big position.
Yeah.
Hess is a name.
Hess is a name, ticker symbol H-E-S. Shareholder yield, 13.5%.
That's like crazy.
It's crazy.
And good so crazy.
What is that signaling to us? Hess is cheap. Hess is a really financially strong company, and they do not monkey with their books. It signals that management is saying our stock is way too cheap.
Mm-hmm.
And so the best use of capital that we have right now is to buy those shares back in. And so one of the things that I like about shareholder yield is it really does get inside management's head. And presumably management should know the best about their company. They don't always. Let's make that a proviso.
Right.
But if they already are cheap and they all already are financially strong and have high earnings quality, to me at least, that says that company's pretty well run, particularly on the financial strength and earnings quality.
Even though the stock is down, what, about 7% so far this year because of the dividend growth, the buyback? I mean, this just makes sense. And all the other factors.
Exactly. It makes tremendous sense from our point of view. Another one, and again, I always like to joke, you're not talking exciting names here.
Because you're going to go to Illinois Tool
Works,
aren't you?
I'm going to go to Illinois Tool Works.
They probably think it's pretty exciting.
Of course they do.
It's a great shareholder yield, though,
exactly.
According to your numbers.
12.9,
yeah.
And I find that very exciting. That's a super high shareholder yield.
Right.
And again, historically, we're talking about a single factor not married to value or earnings quality or financial strength. Right? Just back to the 20s, every decade.
Yeah.
Every decade. And in the last decade, between 2000 and 2009, it killed it. It did vastly better than the marketplace. So we are really talking about a very powerful tool for investors to do very well in large cap stocks.
And consistently. Starwood Hotels, they are,
now,
though,
an exciting.
I was just going to say, they would say they are. They are. And they're expanding big time in Europe.
They are. They are. So I guess they're our sexy name of the week.
Yeah.
And their shareholder yield, 11.8%.
Right.
And again, very financially strong, cheap by our measurements, great earnings quality. And they're putting their money where their mouth is. And, back to those numbers, the cheap stocks, 14.8%, the expensive ones, 1.6%.
It's a huge difference.
Huge difference.
Gap.
So you really do want to go in and look.
Right.
Make sure that the stock is not hugely expensive before you commit to the high shareholder yield.
Let me just ask you a question, because we've got a Fed meeting coming up. And I know this is a big kind of macro debate that goes on and constantly about Fed policy. But if rates are starting to go up, access to debt, it's not going to be as cheap as it was.
Right.
But I know it's not going to go up a lot. So does that change any of your thinking or your equation in terms of maybe the amount of opportunities that are out there potentially?
In terms of...
Because money that's borrowed is often used for buybacks.
Right. In terms of this particular strategy, no. Because many of these companies are just using excess cash flow to repurchase. Typically, we would not find that to be a prohibiting factor because for every company that was borrowing and no longer can, there are a host
somebody
of other
else
ones.
Out there.
I mean, and you're talking about, a shareholder yield of 12.2 versus 12.1.
Right.
And so
that's what the small stuff.
They're statistically the same. So that doesn't really affect us too much.
Okay.
You know, obviously where the Fed has been infecting or infecting, I guess would be the better term.
What would Freud say?
Global managers are, you know, the strength of the dollar is hurting unhedged equities outside the U.S. And so I guess I wouldn't be terribly surprised, given all of the other challenges that the Fed faces, if they are to raise, that it will be quite slowly, and the movements will not be huge. Those we have found have very little effect on stock returns.
Yeah.
It's the discontinuous jumps where things, you know, just get very high very quickly.
Right.
Those are much more difficult for equity investors to weather. Shorter, more policy-oriented, if you will, i.e. it's not being done in reaction to a bad inflation number.
Right, right.
Those tend to be very benign in terms of how they affect the equity investor. Much more manageable, yeah.
Let's talk about FedEx, because that's another one.
Yeah, FedEx. I guess you could say when you get a FedEx, you're excited, right? Or at least you hope to be,
yeah, right.
Unless it's
right.
Papers from a lawyer.
There is that. Yeah, but that's a more well-known company.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so everybody knows FedEx. I would guess most people know Starwood.
Yeah.
For the most part, though, we like to joke that if you know more than half the names, it's a very unusual situation.
It's funny.
Or if more than half the names can have even a spin to say that they're exciting.
Right, right.
But FedEx is a great example of a company that's got a shareholder yield of 9.7%.
It's impressive.
It's cheap, financially strong. It has great earnings quality. Sort of hitting on all cylinders. So you definitely will recognize, particularly playing in the large cap space,
yeah.
You might not like the name,
right.
And you might think, ugh, Hess, you know, energy, oh my gosh. But the fact is, you're probably going to know those names. And we find a lot of luck in the large cap sector with this particular strategy, in terms of consistently outperforming its benchmark.
And you stay with the names typically a fair amount of time.
Typically, we'll stay with the names for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we build conviction in a name.
Oh, so a year, it's actually not that long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens is once a month, we rerun the screen.
Yeah.
And so let's take FedEx. If FedEx shows up in the next screen, it gets a larger weight in the portfolio. That's the way that allows us to build a conviction model, saying
right.
We have great conviction in these shares because they've shown up 12 times in a row.
Right.
And
it's hard to ignore at that point.
Yeah, exactly. They're going to be overweighted. Companies that are only in one or two times are going to have a much more reduced weight in the portfolio.
I can't believe it's almost over. 30 seconds left. Parting thought.
Parting thought. I think that, you know, what I would love investors to do is just remind themselves that, you know, there was a bear market or near a bear market in 2011, and nobody remembers that. And so no doubt we're going to have a correction or maybe even worse. The challenge is marry yourself to your timeline, right? And if you can do that, you can change the way you look at that 10 or 20% reduction.
Yeah.
To, oh my gosh, it's on sale, I'm going to buy more, as opposed to, oh my gosh, I'm terrified, I'm going to sell out of my investment.
As always, a great parting thought. Jim O'Shaughnessy, thank you so much.
Carol, always fun.
Love it. All right, folks, you're listening to Taking Stock, and this is Bloomberg Radio.
Taking Stock, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 a.m. and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119.